So what has happened in the world this week? Or we could say, what in the world's happened this week? What's happened in Savannah this week? Yeah, we had more shootings. What's happened in the country this week? I don't know how to describe all this. If I use the word protest, it's not always true, okay? Because what we're describing yesterday was, you know, that was taking place in Washington, that was not necessarily a protest. It was a demonstration. Okay? It was a gathering of believers, okay? Let me ask, have you seen the representations of the good resolutions to some of the things that have caused chaos in the country? Because they're there. Now, I'll be honest with you. My take on Facebook most of the time is to never, I have decided never to comment personally on something that I feel very strongly about in a negative way. So even if it's a friend of mine from back, you know, 30 years ago, and they say something that I really disagree with, I have decided never to engage about that. But what I have decided to do is when I believe that there are things that are good, where God shows up and somebody posts that, I don't mind reposting that. So what in the last week, I have been thrilled to be able to repost or share or whatever you call it, some videos of demonstrators and protesters who have actually ended up praying with one another and hugging one another and doing things God's way. So that I am promoting reconciliation. I am not promoting hatred, vitriol, anger, or violence. Because the media will do that on its own, thank you very much. Because it's sensational. Now, that, and you know, yesterday there was like a attempted coup in Turkey, and now we're in trouble with Turkey because they say they want somebody that we've got that was a part of that. Anyway, world is topsy-turvy. Very incendiary right now. A lot of things going on. Now, I share all that as a backdrop. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to fit, but it seems to fit. Most of us, at certain times, either ourselves or we know somebody who is really afraid for the future. Some people, it's to the point of there are certain things they won't do, certain places they won't go, because they're afraid of what could happen. And we live in times where there are justifications for being afraid. Let me give you a silly little example. This last week, the July 4 week, we went to hang out at my dad's up in Atlanta. Well, we remembered as we were coming back, or actually this weekend, that there was a time in the spring where a buddy of Luke's that he went to middle school with, they've moved to McKinney, Texas, which is in the Dallas area. And there was a time where we were talking about Luke actually going this last week to visit them. And it just hit me. If we had let him go to see his friend, he would have been traveling through the airport. He would have been in the Dallas area when all that stuff happened. Now, I'm not saying that it would, but I'm just saying you think about things like that and it makes you then have sincere, real questions about what do, what do you not do? Because you care about people. So fear. That's one thing. In all this stuff that's going on in the world and in our part of the world that's going on. Do you know a lot of people who are not happy with where they are, what they're doing? They're not happy with their lot in life. They're dissatisfied. Maybe it's you. Whatever it might be. I know a lot of people who are or have been. You know people who are haunted by the past. There's stuff that's happened that unfortunately still dictates what they do today, even though it was long in the past. One thing that I think is very scriptural is that we have right now. And now is what we have as, okay, we'll use a little play on words. It's called the present because it's God's gift, right? It's what you've got now. God gave it to you. Gave it to me. And I believe that it's scriptural to look at the fact that we're supposed to be living now and we are supposed to squeeze everything out of right now. So even as you're sitting here this morning, as you're supposed to be interacting with me and listening to me, what is it that you can do to squeeze everything you can that God wants you to get out of right now? And that's the right thing. That's the God thing. So we're going to talk about living now. Live now. It's biblical, and I want to share that with you today. Probably this is going to take me a couple of times with you to deal with. As I originally posted this out and looked at how it was going to go, today's going to kind of be the day where we look at some passages that focus on the Bible talking about this day, this time, right now. And how it really telescopes us to focus on what we have, which is now. We don't have tomorrow. Yesterday's not here. Thank you, Fleetwood Mac. Yesterday's gone. And here we have this day, this moment. So as I do this, I don't want you to hear this as sort of a rant that's supposed to motivate you to have some kind of bucket list approach at life, where you decide, I'm going to throw caution to the wind for caution's sake and just go crazy. That's not what this is about. It's about living the way that God wants us to live. It's about getting the most out of the time that God gives us. And we know that this moment is the one we are sure of. Just this one. All right, so let's look at a couple of places in Scripture where God calls us to focus on the day that we have now. First passage. You all sang this if you were in church when you were a kid. What's the tune? This is the day that the Lord... There you go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day. You don't have yesterday anymore. You don't have tomorrow yet. So this is it. You've made a good choice. You're in the right place. This is it. The good news is we always start with God. And honoring Him is how we live best and most fully. Is that scriptural? Is that what God said? What did John 10:10 say? What did Jesus say? I have come, I may have life. Okay? And the word was abundant, and it's not necessarily in a quantitation of life. It's a matter of everything. Okay? All right? Next passage. Proverbs 103, 15, 16. This is the New Century Version. You've seen this before. You've probably heard this before. So, human life is like grass. We grow like a flower in the field, and after the wind blows, the flower's gone. You've seen that, haven't you? When you were a little kid, you're sitting out in the middle of a yard or a field or something, and the wind blew, and whatever it was you had, it just, it's gone. And there is no sign of where it was. So, What's the biblical view of the length of a person's life? Short? Easily affected? What does it tell us about our view of time? Now, what was that, Bethany? It's distorted. Okay, so explain the distortion to me. So our view of time is wrapped up in what? Yeah. Circumstance, but it's us, our lens. You know, we got the binoculars in our hands and we're trying to look into eternity. We're trying to look back, and all we can do is see from the perspective that we stand in, where we are. And if we have God's perspective, it's a dot. And from where we're looking, like, it's like looking at binoculars, looking miles and miles away. Two different perspectives on time, on the duration that we have while we're here. So what conclusions can we make based on that? This biblical view of time. And now remember, what are we focusing on? Today. Squeezing all we can out of today, because it's what we have. So we got this reality of time that we don't see the way God sees. Our vantage point makes it look expansive. His vantage point makes it look minuscule. Procrastination would be foolishness. So what else? Okay. So we see in the Old Testament this idea that life is, it's brief from God, our life is brief from God's vantage point. And that we need to adopt God's vantage point as opposed to our vantage point with binoculars. We are locked in to the time and the place. But yet we see things as being expansive. God is not, and He does not see it that way. We need to see our lives more God's way than we see it from our vantage point. That's one of the things that happens when we receive Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and we now have the possibility of seeing things, perceiving things, and experiencing things the way God does. All right, next passage. Now we're going to have a couple of passages in these next several. All of them are going to sort of build. First one's from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. James wrote, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money." And then the emphasis of the bold and the italics are mine. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Does this agree with what we just read? It's a different metaphor, but it's the same idea. Instead, you ought to say, if this is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, plans, assumptions, stuff you think you're going to have time to do in the future. Sometimes stuff you think you're going to be able to put off into the future. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin for them. So, the way that we're supposed to see our time and the fact that we only have now, for sure, it's a gift, but we only have now, for sure. What is it that James tells us to do? What ought we to do? do good. Right? And we can define good. How do we define good? Because the world's going to rush in there and try to define it for you. Okay. Do God's will. Things that Jesus did. Things that please God. Things that advance the kingdom of God. I think Hebrews chapter 11 answers that question pretty clearly. If you read the Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews, it's all about those who have left a legacy of faith, a footprint for others to follow and walk in. So there is, I think, a biblical justification for your question, and I guess an answer too. As I was looking and reflecting on this, I came up with, well, life is fragile, it's brief, but it's also, because of that, very valuable. We live by God's pleasure. But as I was looking at what it was saying about this day, you know, he's talking about tomorrow being out there, and that's not something that we ought to be so arrogant about that we would then say, oh, I have tomorrow, or I plan to do this tomorrow. I won't do it today. You like me? You struggle with that? Okay? That procrastination thing. Okay? But I found some things. One thing was a quote by John Wesley. Here's what he said. Sounds a lot like this. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, all the time you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That's a really good definition for me of squeezing now. And living now. Somebody also asked, and this is kind of one of those things, I can't find necessarily exactly the words for it, so forgive me, but I've heard it quoted. Somebody else, whenever they were talking with John Wesley, asked him basically, if you were to die tomorrow, what would you do differently? And to paraphrase his answer, nothing. I would do what I already had planned. Because what he had planned was, what will you said? That makes sense? I would love to live that way, wouldn't you? So, do you and I wake up in the morning and set our minds on doing all the good that we can? Why? Why not? What keeps us from going there? Okay, selfish, overwhelmed. Sometimes all those things that we talked about earlier, the past is still very real. Or sometimes we're so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. All right, let's move to the next passage. It's from Romans chapter 13. Now this one, and let's see, this passage from Romans, passage from Ephesians, both of these, yes. You're going to see a new metaphor thrown into here in both of these passages. They have to do about understanding time and what moments you have and I have. So Romans 13, Paul wrote, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Now it's very important that we try to consider, what is it that would be motivating Paul to use our experiencing this moment as if we're asleep? The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. All right, so kind of lock that in your head for a second. The key metaphor being the idea of being asleep. How are you asleep in your life? Because he's saying, wake up. All right, next passage, John. Ephesians 5, 8 through 20. He says, live as children of light. That image is there too. Same as talked about light in the last one. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. We talked about doing that. Living, doing today, right now, what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. All right? When was the last time you slept with your light on? You only do that when? When do you sleep with your light on a lot of times? What did you say, Brian?
When you're afraid.
When you're afraid. Okay? You're afraid of what? You're afraid usually because of something that has happened to you in the past, and now you're not sure what's going to happen to you in the future, right? For Luke, for years, it was Randall. Randall was in the closet. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, squeezing the moment, squeezing the time you have, because the days are evil. They are. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in those two passages, what causes, do you think, are a spiritual lethargy and dullness that seems to be like sleepiness? Because that's what he's addressing. He's using that metaphor for a reason. What causes us to be that way? Here we are in this moment, right now that we have. What causes us to be spiritually sleepy, dull, lethargic? Distorted view of time affects it. What else?
Too busy.
Priorities out of whack. Rationalization. Excuses. We'll just say excuses. The next passage is going to drive that home a little bit. Not giving God his rightful place in our lives. When we're on the throne, we can be asleep at the wheel. Or when we're in the driver's seat, we can be asleep at the wheel. Now here's the reality. It is rarely one thing that puts us to sleep. It's often a conglomeration, an amalgam of several things that have started to affect us, and we have not dealt with it. And then we get to this point where, because we have not dealt with it, that it then begins to put us to sleep. They put us to sleep. And we go into that happy land where we would rather dream than deal with reality. Because it's nicer. It's safer. It's easier. Where we go back to? Tell me about it, Dusty. We go back to Neo. Which pill do you want? Back to Happy Land? Or do you want to live now the way it really is? All right. So what do these passages tell us about living now? Go back to Romans. What does it tell us about living now? That's what we ought to be doing, right? That's the ought to. That's the good thing. The thing that puts us to sleep is when we make agreements. This isn't so bad. It's not as bad as so-and-so. It's only a moment. It doesn't affect anybody. Only me. And I can deal with it. Isn't that what you see? Go to the second part of that, John. Which takes us back to the good part. And that's what Terry was talking about. There you go. How do we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it's very clear in Scripture. It's saying if you set your mind on the things of Christ, you won't set your mind on the things that aren't. So in this moment, in this day, to live now, we have to be focused on the things of Christ. Not focused on our stuff. Because if we're focused on our stuff, we will fall asleep. Any of y'all ever fallen asleep at the wheel? It's scary. What is it that we are supposed to do to get everything out of now? What we have. This moment. Find out what pleases the Lord. Do what pleases the Lord. Got to read? Got to know the Word? That, and you expose what is deeds from the darkness, right? All right, so the second part of this, careful how you live. Make the most out of every opportunity. Squeeze. Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. And then he goes on and he talks about don't do the things that are part of the darkness. Instead, do what we're supposed to be doing. What can we say for sure that we know today about how to squeeze the moment out of the time we have together here today? We know that what we're here to do is to share praises, honoring God, placing Him first, giving Him glory. We know that we can get the most out of this moment because it says so, right? See, it's practical. Let's go to the Hebrews passage real quick. So, yes, we have the next thing, which is what was said. I think Terry, was that you or is that Bethany? But encourage one another daily as long as it is called how, when, what, where? Today. So that none of you may be hardened by... We're here together to get the most out of the moment. And one of the ways we do that is by being here for one another so we don't fall asleep at the wheel. So we don't let those temptations and things that cause us to feed ourselves instead of focus on Christ and the things that He has for us. That's why we need to be here. And we're supposed to do it. Guess what? When you wake up tomorrow, is it going to be today? And if you wake up the day after that, will it be today? You can't run out of today's, can you? As long as you're alive, you got it today. In fact, that's the only thing you got, is today. All right. Let's see. I think I've got one more. Let's go to the Matthew passage. And this is several slides, so forgive me. And then we'll get to the to the end of the tunnel, and then we'll move on next week. All right, so this is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. These are familiar words. "Therefore I tell you," he said, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air." Remember, I told you that that's one of the things that God does. He reorients me whenever I'm looking at that world that's a part of what we do, but has nothing to do with the politics, nothing to do with my life, what I think is important. The birds fly, the fish swim, the clouds move. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is even shorter in its lifespan, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Again, emphasis mine. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day, today, has enough trouble of its own." All right, so where we've gone in all these passages is we are focusing on and seeing that there's a scriptural imperative. God is telling us we need to focus on now. Not focus on what happened in the past. We need to deal with it. He'll help us. He has said He would. He's given this to one another to help us deal with the scars and the problems of the past, so that we can come to a point where we can embrace the present that we have, so we can make the most out of it. And we can offer it back to Him. Offer ourselves back to Him. Right now. So is there anything here you see that these words tell us that we need to do about how to live now that we haven't already talked about? I don't know how you'll hear this. You guys have to understand, I'm not one of these guys that hears. I don't hear stuff a lot audibly. I don't from God, you know. But there's times where I get a very clear message here and there, and it's not often. But I was cutting my grass about 3 weeks ago, and God put somebody on my heart, and then just the phrase, "Don't do it." So I finally kind of got around to later in that evening calling that person and saying, I texted the person. I said, "Don't know if this means anything to you. I have no idea. But just felt like," and I told him the story. So I said, "Don't do it." Well, about maybe within 5 minutes after I texted that, got the call. And for them, there was a context for that. And I said, "Now, you check it out. But, you know, you be sure about this. But, you know, all I can do is tell you what I felt like God told me." And sometimes that is very encouraging, because what that tells people is God is speaking. And we need to know God is speaking, because we often convince ourselves He's not. And maybe it's because somebody was cutting their grass and they just decided, "I need to get a drink of water instead of..." Well, it took me a couple hours to recover. It was hot. But you hear where I'm going. Today is the day that I have. Today is the day that you have. You don't have tomorrow. Yesterday should not have the power over you that it that many of us allow it to have. But we've got right now. And we're going to talk about living now and some of the things that you all have already kind of begun thinking about and talking about. We're going to get into those things next Sunday. So let's pray. Father, we want to live every moment for you. Lord, the problem is a lot of times we just don't. Lord, we make poor choices. We get grumpy. We get tired. We get distracted. So many things, Lord. But I'm praying that you would help us to live the abundant life that you have created us to live. Lord, be speaking to us this week. Help us to make the very most out of every moment, every day that we have, because it is your gift to us. Let us do all the good we can in all the ways we can, just like John Wesley said. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.